listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
It is time to go to work on another Sunday. Welcome to Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters, every week, right here, wherever you may be. I can't tell you how fun it is to be with you today. We have got a lot happening. We've got a lot going on in the studio. I've got two guests with me tonight in studio. Mr. Ed Stone, the president of Georgia Carry, is sitting across from me, as is the vice president of Georgia Carry, pro Second Amendment attorney, as well as civil rights attorney John Monroe. And it's going to be a really fun conversation with those guys. But before we get started, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. If you're interested in joining the broadcast tonight, please feel free to call us, 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566. The email address, feel free to reach out to me live. I'm looking at the screen now, mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. And my producer, Sean, is still kind enough to monitor the Twitter, so you can tweet me out there, twitter.com/AARmark. In addition to that, man, do we have a great announcement tonight. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw it at you. Detroit, Michigan, you are live tonight, right now, on the Armed American Radio Network, WDTK. Welcome to the broadcast. Your prescription for freedom has been filled, and it is truly a pleasure to be with you tonight. We have got, I personally have a lot of history with you folks up in Detroit. Got a number of years up there, some formative years, a lot of firsts for me in Michigan. Cobo Hall, among another number of other things, including some water skiing activities. So it feels good to be back home in Detroit, WDTK 1400 AM. Welcome to the Armed American Radio Network. It's great to have you with us. Also, Corpus Christi, Texas. This is a fun one. The Lone Star State. Yeah, you guys are soon to be on the Armed American Radio Network. We'll give you the call signs and the numbers and the who's, what's, where's, and when's. Probably next week, but beginning the first week of January, I believe, possibly the second, your prescription for freedom has been filled. The Lone Star State now belongs to Armed American Radio Network. That's a lot of fun. Also, a big, giant thank you to our friends at Bill Winks Chevrolet up there in Dearborn for bringing Armed American Radio to you in Detroit, as well as the Firing Line Indoor Range and Gun Shop. Michigan gun owners, it's great to have you with us. Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get right to it tonight. How about it? I've got with me in the studio tonight, directly in front of me, the president of GeorgiaCarry.org, Mr. Ed Stone. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
You know what? It's a lot of fun to have you here because you were the first guest.
I was.
On Armed American Radio on April 26th when we were broadcasting very lonely right here in Atlanta. And it was a real pleasure to have you then, and it's a real pleasure to have you with us now. Seated next to him is John Monroe, attorney John Monroe, civil rights attorney and pro Second Amendment lawyer. John has been on Armed American Radio before, and trust me on this one, he is a wealth of information. John, welcome back to Armed American Radio.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have got, they're just teeing it up for us every week, it seems. And Ed, I'll start with you because you write the Gun Rights, the Examiner.
The Atlanta Gun Rights Examiner.
The Atlanta Gun Rights Examiner. And your article in here, I mean, it's just chock full of information that's not just pertinent to Georgia Carry members, but it's pertinent everywhere.
Well, it is, yes. Recently we had, I'll let you get to the articles, but I wanted to start with the one about MARTA crime rates dropping.
Let's start there, and let's kind of let everybody know what we're talking about there. MARTA, first off, is what?
The Metropolitan Atlanta Rapid Transit Authority.
Bingo. So we call it MARTA for short because it's easier.
It's known and loved by the name MARTA here in Atlanta.
Now, prior to HB 89, and let's just tell you what we're talking about with HB 89. Georgia was one of the states that did not allow carry on mass transit systems.
Well, one of the very few. They didn't only not allow it, it was a felony. So you could literally face 20 years in prison for having a gun too close to a bus stop.
Yeah, and we're talking 20 years, felony with a capital F here, aren't we?
Yes, disarm for life, lose your right to vote, all of that.
Yeah, and that would probably be the least of your concerns because we're also talking a 20-year prison sentence simply for being lawfully armed anywhere near a bus stop.
Well, the law said a reasonable distance adjacent thereto. Now, you know, I guess you could try to prove Oh, I was more than a reasonable distance. I'm not sure what that reasonable distance would be, but that's what the law said.
Okay. Now, HB 89 passed last year.
In July of 2008, it took effect.
And we had all of the anti-gunners going crazy like they normally do. Oh, my gosh, it's going to be blood in the streets.
Mark,
what's happened?
You may remember there was a petition, 1,000 people signed, to get bulletproof shields for the drivers. They said, we have to have a fighting chance against these people with Georgia firearms licenses who will be carrying guns onto trains and buses.
Okay, let me stop you right there. So the transit drivers were not concerned previously about felons who don't have concealed carry permits and licenses, but they were more worried about me and you and John and anybody else who follows the law. Then they wanted protection from us, law-abiding citizens, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, I guess criminals were never a problem to them? What?
Well,
the past?
They were a problem, and in fact, we have some of the crime rates in the article, but we were told that the bill, Beverly Scott, the chief executive officer of MARTA, called the bill vigilantism, and I know Alice Johnson with Georgians for Gun Safety called it deadly legislation that is harmful to community safety.
All right, well, let's just kind of segue into the next point based on the fears that they, the irrational fears that they throw out there. Tell us about the crime rates on MARTA since this bill took effect.
There were two murders in 2007. The bill passed in 2008, and there has not been another murder on the MARTA system since.
Do you attribute that? Because what they'll do is they'll use the statistics against us, and they'll say, it has nothing to do with, there's a lot of factors involved there.
Obviously, I don't attribute it to anything, but what it does show is that certainly the bill has not turned out to be the deadly legislation that was predicted.
That's the proof that we're talking about. Forget the particulars of, you know, the crime rates and what may cause a crime rate to drop. There's just, it's too much to talk about.
There hasn't been one negative incident with a person with a Georgia firearms license on MARTA in the year and a half since it passed. Now,
I see
John squirming a little bit. There's been a negative.
Yeah, I see it too.
There's been a negative incident, but not the type, not misuse of a gun.
Well, we will talk about that negative incident because I know John is involved in that negative incident. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, didn't the AJC, they seem to run overtime when they go in anti-gun mode. They run overtime. Didn't they run something today about that case?
They had an article yesterday.
They did.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
About the article?
Well, yeah. What's the gist of what they're talking about here? And I know you're handling the case, right?
Right. We filed a lawsuit in federal court here in Atlanta earlier this year where a GeorgiaCurie.org member was stopped when he was seen walking in a MARTA train station wearing a firearm. And he was disarmed. He provided his firearms license and driver's license to the police. They also required that he give his social security number. They gave his identification back, then took him into a private area and ultimately gave his firearm back to him. The total detention lasting about 30 minutes. The judge just ruled on most of the claims in the case this week, dismissing most of them, saying that the police were authorized to detain him when they saw him carrying a firearm because he had displayed all the elements of two crimes, carrying a concealed weapon and carrying a concealed weapon on a train, even though he wasn't on a train and he wasn't even within the fare gates. But that's what the judge
said. According to them, it's a crime or evidence of a crime to be exercising your right lawfully.
Well, Mark, this is of great interest to the U.S. Concealed Carry Association, I'm sure, because what the opinion is saying is by carrying concealed, there is a presumption of criminality.
Right, that's where I'm trying to go.
Carriers.
So when we're exercising our Second Amendment rights, our constitutional rights, they have a right to believe that we are a criminal. They can work off of that assumption. Is that what started this to begin with?
Well, they don't have to inquire into whether somebody has a license or not under the judge's ruling. The fact that he was carrying a firearm and that he'd pulled his shirt over it and was walking in the train station in the direction of the trains was sufficient for the police to believe that he had committed two crimes. And whether he had a license was irrelevant to that determination.
So, okay. So what would you say if we said that the law in Georgia is if you conceal a weapon, it's perfectly constitutional for the police to stop you, surround you, detain you, disarm you, and question you and run background checks for 30 minutes and then take you out of the public eye. Certainly there's a chilling effect on the right to bear arms in that situation.
There's a very chilling effect on it, and we're getting ready to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more detail about that chilling effect and what it means to us as law-abiding gun owners, and not just in Georgia. I want to point out that this is everywhere, is it not? It's in a number of states that they have this concern exists, is it not?
It does exist in other states.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, stick with us. We'll be right back after these messages with Ed Stone, president of Georgia Carry, and John Monroe. Oh, in about 4 minutes. See you in a couple seconds.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Is your life a whirr? Do you find yourself coming and going at a pace that would leave a coffee-drinking Jack Russell Terrier in the dust? Would you like to just slow down and get out of the rat race? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. Slow down and have a less stressful, happier life by building a home business. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Are you a firearms owner? If you live in an urban area that is susceptible to natural or man-made disasters, then you need to visit 9survive.com. Learn vital survival skills, such as how to avoid making your prepared family a target for looters, and how to fix the top 10 mistakes people make with 72-hour kits. Learn these skills and more. Sign up for a free 9-day mini course at 9survive.com. That's the number 9, survive, then .com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters, every week. Feel free to join us on the broadcast, 877-956-9566. Mark at armedamericanradio.org, twitter.com/AARMark. And I want to read something to you. And I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, and then I'm going to put my two guests in the studio on the spot and see if they know who this is from. By calling attention to a well-regulated militia, the security of the nation, and the right of each citizen to keep and bear arms, our founding fathers recognized the essentially civilian nature of our economy. Although it is extremely unlikely that the fears of governmental tyranny, which gave rise to the Second Amendment, will ever be a major danger to our nation, the amendment still remains an important declaration of our basic civilian-military relationships, in which every citizen must be ready to participate in the defense of his country. For that reason, I believe the Second Amendment will always be important. Listeners, put your caps on. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Ed, John, do you have any idea who said that?
I'm going to guess JFK.
That was John F. Kennedy, U.S. President, April of 1960. You win. I don't know what you win. We'll win you something here. But that was John Kennedy. And, you know, go back and listen to that. Take a really chew on that. I don't believe John Kennedy would be walking in lockstep today with Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and President Obama. He was very conservative in that respect. But this is not something that you would hear from the leaders of today's Democratic Party, is it?
He was also a life member of the NRA.
Yes, it's amazing. So there you go. You have that. That's from JFK. Keep the emails coming. Make the lines light up. Detroit, here I'm going to do something fun for you. The first two callers coming into us from Detroit at 877-956-9566, 877-956-9566, will get a free signed copy of my book, Lessons from Armed America, co-written with Kathy Jackson and the foreword by Masoud Ayoub, who, by the way, will be here in the studio next week with Gail Pepin. That's going to be a lot of fun. So light the phones up. Sean will take care of that and let me know, and we'll get you signed copies. Okay, let's go back to this, guys. I got papers everywhere. Quote, Officer Nichols removed Racy's handgun from its holster and said, "What are you doing with a gun?" Officer Nichols then asked Racy for his identification, firearms license, and social security number. Racy provided each. What in the heck is that all about?
Well, that's what happened to the Georgia Kerry member who was stopped in the MARTA train station for carrying a firearm. And the district judge here in Atlanta said that was okay. As I mentioned during the break, I don't know what would have happened if he would have been carrying a Bible when he was walking into the train station, both carrying guns and carrying Bibles, of course, being constitutionally protected activities.
Where do we draw the line? What happens in a case like this? Because this has implications nationwide. This is not something that just happens here. It's not something that happens in your neighborhood. This has implications everywhere. At what point do we draw the line when it comes to constitutional, when you're exercising a constitutional right?
Well, under the logic of the case, basically anyone seen carrying a firearm anywhere in Georgia, with some exceptions, would be subject to detention, search, arrest, and prosecution. Because under the logic of the ruling, unless you are carrying a firearm openly in a location that is not off limits for anyone, whether they have a license or not, you would be displaying all of the elements of the crime and therefore could be arrested and charged with it.
And Mark, let's keep in mind, this is a federal court decision, and federal courts cite each other all the time. So other federal district courts, perhaps in your state, listener, are going to be looking to this opinion and citing it in cases in other places. And in fact, there are several states that are in the same situation now. I know Minnesota is one of the ones when you
right.
read the opinion that has the same situation. Several other states do. Philadelphia, not the entire state of Pennsylvania, but the city of Philadelphia has the same situation.
Okay, now I'm going to transition for just a second because you brought up a great point with Philadelphia. I've heard many, many times from a lot of different individuals, scared about the McDonald case, John. What happens if we lose the McDonald case? And my response to them, and you correct me if I'm wrong, has been nothing, really. Nothing changes. It doesn't stay the way it is now, but how is it today? People say, well, then Philadelphia can enact their own laws. Detroit can enact their own laws. Liberal Kansas can enact their own laws. However, what we forget is there are state preemptions involved. So Philadelphia can't preempt state law. Now, in Illinois, which doesn't have a preemption, Chicago can do what it wants to do.
Philadelphia can preempt state law because Philadelphia has its own little carved-out exception in the state law.
Okay, that's interesting. That I did not know.
There's actually a state law in Pennsylvania that makes it a crime to carry a gun in Philadelphia, but not any other city.
Okay. All right. I'm getting angry, and I have to defer this to the guys at the end, the Michigan Gun Owners, the forum. I know what you guys are talking about up there. I read your stuff. I see it. Okay. Zoolander in particular says, "Man, I love the show," and Mark's great, but he put a butt in there, and he said, "But he tends to drift off sometimes into politics that don't have anything to do with guns. If you could stay with gun politics, he says the show would be even better." I agree with that. However, they're all tied together in my mind. We were ragging the global warming debate last week on the broadcast. And it, how does it tie into guns? It ties in because these people are after your freedoms. And that's just one more notch on the belt. Okay. So as far as I'm concerned, when it affects your freedoms, your firearm rights are right in there with it too. So anyway, I'll try not to drift off. It angers me. But Ed, back to you real quick. I want to give you a hats off because I was a Georgia Carry member when I first moved to Georgia a number of years ago, and there were, we were happy to see 400 members.
Well, we're 3 years old, and I believe when you joined there were just a few hundred members, and we're very happy to have you, Mark.
Over 5,200 now, right?
We're proud the host of this show is a member, and we are about 5,200 now and growing like gangbusters.
Well, I'll tell you what, Georgia Carry, for you folks around the nation, it's not just Georgia Carry. You do not have to be a member or do not have to be a resident of the state of Georgia to join Georgia Carry, nor do you have to be a resident of Virginia to join VCDL. And, I put VCDL and I put Georgia Carry right up there with VCDL. Buckeye Firearms is another good one. The grassroots groups are making a difference nationwide. And what Georgia Carry does here impacts other groups, other states, and freedoms across the country. VCDL has done a bang-up job. My good friend Jim Irvine up there, they've just finished a brief for the upcoming McDonald case. So let's go there. We talked about it real quick. John, I'll defer to you. The McDonald case, what's at stake here? Where do we go from here? What are we looking to see happen when they argue in February or March?
March, I believe it is.
In March. What are we looking for here? What are the key points?
Well, the crux of the McDonald case is to decide whether the Second Amendment applies to the states or not. I think you alluded earlier to what would happen if we were to lose the McDonald case and suggested perhaps nothing. That's probably true because I'm not sure there are any states out there now that do think that the Second Amendment applies to them. And so if we lost, we'd have maintained the status quo. If we win, which I expect we will, there'll be a lot of litigation coming down the pike.
There will be. Okay, well, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break, about the litigation coming and what you expect, because like you, I believe we're going to win that case. And I'll give you my prediction on what I think the scorecard is going to be in the Supreme Court when we come back after these messages. So stick around. Detroit, we're in the house with you. Your prescription for freedom has been filled. Light the phones up, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191.
800-804-0191.
If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm joined in the studio tonight with President of GeorgiaCarry.org, Ed Stone, and Vice President of GeorgiaCarry.org, attorney, pro-Second Amendment attorney. That's always good to hear that go together, Mr. John Monroe. And we were talking about McDonald case and a number of other things. You know, I'll wait till we have this. This always comes back. That music pops back in there. It kills me. John, please. The McDonald case, my prediction. Because it seems so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's so obvious to me that the Second Amendment absolutely must be found to be incorporated and binding against the states. Isn't the First Amendment? Can Mayor Daley say, does he have the right to say, you cannot say that in Chicago? No. So why would he be able to pick and choose his fights relative to the Bill of Rights?
Well, because that's what the Supreme Court has done. Rather than just decide that the Bill of Rights applied to the states, they decided to pick and choose which of the first 10 amendments applied to the state, and they have yet to rule that the Second Amendment applies to the states.
Okay. I'd like to see this obviously go 9-0. I'll take a 5-4. Okay.
I would too, but it's not going
to
happen.
Okay. I would like to think that if any of the justices were to take off their ideological hats, that they would have to rule, because forget the content of the amendment, right? But like you said, that's not going to happen. Sotomayor, let's talk about her for a second. She's already tipped her hat, and you said during the break that Ginsburg did too?
I think so, yes.
explain that.
Well, she was quoted earlier this week giving a speech. I don't recall what the venue was, but she said that future wiser courts will be reexamining the Heller case, which to me says that not only would she not vote in favor of incorporation of the Second Amendment, but she might even use her dissenting opinion in the McDonald case to take some more pot shots at Heller.
When it's a dissenting opinion, does it have any clout, or is it just that, a dissenting opinion? What clout does that have?
Well, it doesn't have any legal effect, but it gets quoted, from then until the end of time, and could conceivably be used as some weight in the future for overturning Heller or McDonald.
Okay, you guys have heard us talk with Dick Heller and Dane von Breiken-Rückart from the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, and he was very encouraging when he said that Supreme Courts don't overturn themselves quickly. They don't revisit these cases quickly. That it's probably not something that we'll see overturned in our lifetimes. Okay, that's fine. Now I'll go back to what I used to say about Illinois, and I've repeated on this broadcast time after time after time, and I've corrected myself. That, people used to say to me, I live in Illinois. It's hopeless up here. What am I going to do? The dailies are running the machine. It doesn't matter where you live in the state. There have been some amazing inroads in Illinois recently. And my tune has changed. No, you can't leave. You've got to be a patriot. Patriots stay and they fight, right? They are worried about what comes before them, or what comes after them, I should say. So in regards to a Supreme Court overturning itself, this is something we have to be concerned with. My kids have to worry about it, don't they?
Well, it's something you should keep in mind, but you should also keep in mind that a win in the McDonald case would be, after a fashion, the Supreme Court overturning itself, because it has ruled previously on what is now widely considered to be faulty legal premises that the Second Amendment doesn't apply to the states.
Okay, now then we get into the privileges and immunities, right? And the what else?
The due process clause.
Due process.
And the privileges or immunities clause, okay, of the 14th Amendment.
All right, now, in the case that the Supreme Court rules the way it should, what happens? We talked about what happens if they don't. What happens if they do?
Well, I think the effect will be limited outside of areas like Chicago, which is the city that's involved in this case. You have to remember, first of all, they're not going to outline all of the outside parameters of the right. In other words, they're not going to write what is essentially a new federal gun control law. I imagine what's going to happen is they're going to just strike down the ban in Chicago on having functional firearms in the home. In other words, the Heller opinion applied to Chicago rather than just D.C.
Right.
And that sort of opinion is not going to have a wide-reaching effect into other states, for example, here in Georgia or up in Alaska, states that don't restrict the right to bear arms very much at all. And that'll be left to, I think, future cases that will address bearing arms outside the home. In fact, I think Dick Heller has a case pending right now in D.C., doesn't
he? He does, yes.
I think that's true, that it won't directly strike down laws in other states, but it will open the door for it and will make it pretty much inevitable. Like, for example, here in Georgia, you must have a license to carry a pistol openly or concealed. I don't think that's constitutionally permissible under the Second Amendment, but the Georgia Supreme Court has ruled that the Second Amendment does not apply to Georgia. If the Supreme Court of the United States were to say, oh, yes, it does, I don't think Georgia's licensing requirement can stand the way it is written today.
Okay, so there'll be changes on local levels all over the country.
That's what I was talking about before the break, that of opening the floodgates of litigation. There would be litigation in probably most states. I'm sure there'd be litigation in Georgia.
How does the Brady campaign and the Violence Policy Center and all these nutcases out there, how do they feel about what's coming down the pike with the McDonald case? Are they nervous? Are they scared? Because I understand we have a majority of senators. There's some very encouraging statistics out there about who's supporting the McDonald case or the incorporation of the Second Amendment. We're seeing a number of senators that are signing. I forget what the exact figure is. But aren't these groups nervous now? What are they thinking? What's the other side feeling about this?
Maybe you should have them on the show, but
they're not. Let me tell you something. That's a good point. No, they're not welcome on this show. This show belongs to us. We can listen to their dribble anywhere else. But I don't mean to put you on the spot with that. I say that all the time. But I'm curious what your thoughts. How do you think, as an attorney, how do you think they're feeling about what the promise of this upcoming case looks like?
I think most anti-gun groups that put much thought into it expected that they would lose the Heller case, and I'd be really surprised to find that any of them don't think that they will lose the McDonald case. While I don't agree with you that McDonald will be 9-0, I'm fairly confident that we will win, and I would not be surprised to see it something greater than 5-4.
Okay, like I said, I'll take a 5-4. And do I really believe it's going to be 9-0? And, I said McCain was going to win the election right up to the last lever being pulled because I was trying to keep the faith, and I lost a couple of bets there. By the way, incidentally, a couple of the bets that I lost, I went to pay off, and those folks who voted for Obama don't want my money now. Okay. I think they're a part of the millions of people out there who don't want to admit they did. But see, okay, Michigan, the Michigan gun owners up there, I'm straying off. I apologize. I'll get back on track. Ed, you look like you're piping in here. Go for it.
I did because, we talked about 5-4. I think it'll be 5-4 again. The only thing that's changed on the court is the appointment of Justice Sotomayor. She's already signaled in a Second Circuit opinion, a panel decision, where she stands on the Second Amendment. And, in fact, that case said the Second Amendment was not a fundamental right. And so I don't see that changing, but I just wanted to point out that I'm disgusted that our right was recognized by one vote on the Supreme Court, and that tells you how important elections are.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, 5-4, it's a win, and we'll take the W. It's still a W in the column. However, you couldn't be more correct, and it is. It's nerve-wracking, actually, because you sit and you think, this is common sense. Why are we fighting this battle after 230-some years? Why are we fighting it now? What's taking so long, John?
Well, one thing to keep in mind is that for quite a while, none of the Bill of Rights was widely considered to apply to the states. And in fact, until after the Civil War, when the 14th Amendment was passed, I think it was a very small minority view that any of those Bill of Rights apply to the states.
Well, I'll tell you what, freedom of speech exists, and that's why we're sitting here talking about it, and we're going to talk about it some more when we come back from the break. Thanks for joining us. Don't turn the dial, and we'll be right back on the Armed American Radio Network right after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Okay, anti-gunners, we're back on the Armed American Radio Network with Ed Stone, president of GeorgiaCarry.org, and vice president and pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment civil rights attorney John Monroe. Again, if you want to join us, feel free to reach out to us at 877-956-9566, mark@armedamericanradio.org, or you can definitely get us on the Twitter, twitter.com/AARMark, and Sean, my producer, is kind enough to monitor that for us tonight. Ed, you have a plea for Georgia gun owners now. Go ahead and make that case while you're on in four cities in Georgia.
At the top of the hour, we were discussing this case on MARTA and how it makes basically a presumption of criminality. And most of you assume if you're law-abiding, you have a license, there's a presumption of innocence. And the police would need to at least reasonably suspect you of a crime before detaining you and investigating you and disarming you and keeping you against your will for a half hour. But this case says, no, that's fine. And my plea is, if you live in Georgia, please contact your representative, contact your state senator. Now, these are state representatives and state senators there in Atlanta, and ask them to change the law so that this will not happen again. It can be done with a fix to the statute so that there's not a presumption that you're a criminal, which is where it stands now with this decision, but a presumption that you are, in fact, law-abiding, licensed, and going about your business.
Okay, now, I have to throw this out because we talked about it here on Armed American Radio last week and the week before, and we'll talk about it again and again and again until something is done about it. Tennessee, you're familiar with what happened with the Tennessee restaurant and bar carry bill. John, you are too.
Yep.
The activist judge decided, in a nutshell, that the legislature was vague and didn't really know what they were talking about. So she went ahead and said, nope, unconstitutional, and all the work you put into it and the vetoes and overriding the vetoes, you didn't really know that. Now, there are some similarities to the airport case.
It seems to be going around
where judges just think that, you know, legislators and the men who write these don't know what they're talking about. And I've got an email here that's from Maggie and Mike Menkes, and it says, Mark, is GCO going to appeal the case? So I'm assuming they're talking about the MARTA?
I'm assuming they're talking about that as well, and the time is not ripe for that decision yet. They're still a part of the case that needs to go to trial, and GCO and Christopher Racy and our attorney, John Monroe, will make that decision when the time is appropriate.
And, John, I should let everybody across the country who is listening to you right now know that your nickname is what?
The Sledgehammer.
You better believe it. Yeah, there's a reason for that. Now, you guys are winning about everything you're touching, with the exception of, what, a couple cases. I think the airport case was one.
The airport case, which is where basically the judge said that not only the legislator did not mean what he said, but the Senate, when it debated carrying firearms into the airport, didn't mean what it said, and the governor, when he said to the TV news cameras that this not only would allow carry at the airport, but that he thought it was a good idea because he wouldn't want to see his wife disarmed in the dark Hartsfield.
Now we're talking. Talking about the governor.
The governor of the
state
of Georgia
did not want to see his wife unarmed, disarmed at the Atlanta International Airport, the busiest airport in the world. So anybody that's flying in and out of Atlanta, okay, and you got somebody picking you up, safe ride home. But here's the deal. The governor didn't want his wife. But he didn't know what he meant either when he said that, did he?
You know, it's interesting because the news reporters only ask follow-up questions when they don't like the answer. And his answer was, yes, it permits carry in the airport. So they said, well, do you think it's a good idea? And he said yes, and gave the example of his wife.
Isn't that amazing? It's
all three branches, you know, the House, the Senate, and the governor. And there was evidence of that in the case. We submitted evidence of all three of those. But the judge ruled that didn't have any bearing on the case, and they didn't mean what they said.
Because, well, it's because that's what he wants to say.
But this Tennessee case that you brought up is interesting because the judge basically came out and said that the case was ambiguous. You agree with that, John, that the law was ambiguous? And normally, when a law is ambiguous and there's some doubt about what it says, you do not get prosecuted. You don't go to jail. And in this case, the judge said the law is vague and ambiguous and nobody can really figure out what it means, and therefore you do go to jail. He left the restriction in place.
Is it now he was referring to, or she, I should say, in Tennessee, was referring to the vagueness, the ambiguity was referencing what is a restaurant definition and a bar.
That's correct.
Now, I have said this again. I'm going to say it again. If you walk into a place that serves food and you went there to buy food, that is a restaurant. If you went in to sit down and have a vodka tonic, that is a bar. If you went in to sit down and have a vodka tonic and order a pizza, that is a restaurant and a bar. What's ambiguous about that? Am I losing my marbles here?
Well, Ed points out an important principle of criminal law, and that is that an ambiguous statute should be construed strictly against the state or the government if it's a federal statute, meaning that if there is an ambiguity, you walk. You don't get charged. You don't get prosecuted. You don't get convicted.
That would seem common sense. Common sense, you know. But there's a great column in Concealed Carry Magazine. I don't know if you gentlemen ever read it, but it doesn't have to make sense. It's just the law, and that's the title of the monthly column in the issue. And it's great. And it is scary to read that stuff. John, back to you. You're carrying two cases right now, and I wanted to ask you about Bill Akins. We took up his cause here and gave him a voice and a forum on this radio broadcast many months ago. Bill Akins, to those of you who are not familiar, I'll let John explain it in a nutshell, the Bill Akins case and the Akins Accelerator. John, go ahead.
Bill Akins invented a device that was basically a replacement stock for a Ruger 10/22 rifle. The stock would remain stationary, but the rifle itself, when you mounted the rifle in the stock, the rifle would reciprocate so that the trigger would disconnect from the shooter's finger and disappear into the stock, but then a spring would push it back into the shooter's trigger finger so that the cycling rate of the rifle would become the cycling rate of the rifle being at its maximum, and it would basically shoot repeatedly if you held your finger in place. At first, when the ATF examined a prototype of the device, they said that it was fine, it wasn't anything. Bill went into production, essentially put his life savings into mass producing these things, and a couple of years later, the ATF reversed itself and said, no, that's a machine gun. You have to stop making them. You have to destroy or turn into us all the ones that you have, and you must give us your customer list because we're going to go out and confiscate everyone that you've sold.
Now, I'll give myself a little pat on the back here because I actually was the one that introduced you and Bill Akins.
That's right.
And I was able to put you into, or actually him in touch with you. And you took off on the case. And what was the end result? Something has transpired there, has it not?
Yes, but nothing good. We've filed a couple of different cases, one in the Court of Federal Claims in Washington and one in a federal district court in Florida. We lost both cases. And the district court basically in Florida affirmed the ATF's classification, giving deference to the ATF because it was a review of an administrative proceeding. We appealed it to the 11th Circuit here in Atlanta, lost again. We appealed it to the Supreme Court of the United States, which declined to take the case as it generally does. So that case is done. There's nothing more we can do with it.
That's it. Bill Akins lost the case. That's a done deal. I've not spoken to him since. I intend on talking with him, and I'll let listeners know what happens after I talk with him and get his thoughts on it. In fact, I might even have him back on the broadcast. John, you've got a couple other active cases going, too. Two of them in Wisconsin, right?
I've got one case in Wisconsin right now. The same plaintiff was actually stopped twice about a year apart in two different places in Wisconsin while he was openly carrying in stores, a home improvement store and also a Walmart store. Both times he was stopped for openly carrying. The first one, he was asked to leave the store and go put his gun in the parking lot. He said he wasn't comfortable doing that, so he just went out and waited in his car while his brother finished shopping. Meanwhile, the store manager called the police just to see, is it okay to carry a gun in Wisconsin, because he didn't know. The police responded by just coming to the store and asking him, where is this guy? He said, over there. So they went and arrested him for disorderly conduct. The second incident was in a Walmart store around midnight. The plaintiff, Jesus Gonzalez, went into the store, and the store manager called the police. The police came. They pointed a gun at him, disarmed him, handcuffed him, searched him, took him out to a squad car, took him to the police station, held him for a couple hours altogether, said, oh, he was never under arrest before they cut him loose. Never charged him with anything, and the district attorneys in both of those incidents had declined to prosecute him.
Okay, so this stuff, this nonsense goes on everywhere, and it's nonsense. Disorderly conduct?
Well, that's what they're left with. I mean, John, there's no license required to carry openly in Wisconsin, is there?
No, Wisconsin is one of two states that doesn't issue licenses at all. They have a concealed carry prohibition. There's no prohibition against openly carrying.
Okay, so these guys got to resort to something because they don't want to look stupid. Right? So they charge him with disorderly conduct. Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Guys, we've got about probably 10 seconds before we start. Well, no, we don't. We've got it right now. We have 1 minute before we cut loose to the second hour. Both of you gentlemen are welcome to stay here. And I will let you know now that Mr. Rob Pincus of the Best Defense Outdoor Channel will be here co-hosting with me for the remaining 2 hours of this broadcast. Rob is a good friend of Armed American Radio and a friend of mine. And we will be talking to Caleb Giddings. Caleb Giddings was on the Fox News channel's Fox and Friends earlier this week debating Dennis Hennigan of the Brady campaign. And you can only imagine, since we haven't given out our Bonehead of the Week award yet, where that's headed in hour number two. So don't change the dial. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. We'll be back after these messages. Thanks to my guest Ed Stone from Georgia Kerry and John Monroe, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.